Just the other day, one of my children cut me to the core with one simple little phrase. All that was said was this: "But Dad, you promised." Immediately, I overreacted. Became a lawyer. You'd have thought I was Clarence Darrow or something. I immediately said, "Wait a minute. I didn't promise. I said if time allowed, we would go biking. I did not promise." "Dad, you promised." Later on, I stopped and I said to myself, you know, why did you overreact like that? Why did it bother me so much that he said, "Dad, you promised"? My mind started to drift into the past, and I saw a little boy who was just dying to go camping with Dad. For weeks, all he could think about was, "I'm going to go camping with Dad." As the day got closer and closer, you could just, the enthusiasm of the little boy was just skyrocketing. And then the day came. This is the day we're supposed to go camping. The little boy had already gathered up all his clothes and had his sleeping bag. He was ready to go. But the phone call came from Dad. "Just can't do it." I was that little boy. And although there are a lot of things in my past that time has erased, for some reason time did not erase this. And so when one of my children would come to me and say, "But Dad, you promised," it brought back a flood of memories, that memory in particular. "Dad, you know that's tough. You've probably done the same thing. And in many ways, I have too. Made some kind of a promise that I didn't keep." Little did I realize how important a promise is, especially to a young person, especially to that little guy or that little girl who just is thrilled to be with Dad. The issue is one of faithfulness. Faithfulness is generally used only of our God in the Word of God. If you study the word faithfulness, you'll find that it predominantly is applied to our God, not to us. What we find in the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 is one of the isolated cases where this concept of faithfulness is applied to us. And it's applied to us in our relationship one to another. As God is faithful to us, we're to be faithful to one another. The word is pistis in the Greek. The Greek form, verb form, is pistuo. It is the exact same word used when we talk about putting your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. The exact same word. So when we encourage someone, and if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ personally, what you need to do is put your faith in Him. It means you put your trust in Him. It means you place your confidence in Him. It means you know you cannot deal with your sins, but He can, so you go to Him. That is the word. But when it's applied to us, it talks about the relationship we would have one to another. It means faithfulness. It means being trustworthy. It means being reliable. It means being loyal. Consider, though, how the term is used of God. First and foremost, in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, Jesus Christ is called the faithful witness. It's used of Christ. In Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11, John says, "I saw the heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat upon it is called faithful and true." He looked at Jesus Christ. When he looks to the panorama of the future, he saw the one on the white horse, and it's identified as Christ by saying he is the faithful one. He is the one we can trust, the one we can have confidence in. He is loyal to us. It's Jesus Christ. So when we talk about faithfulness, we're talking about a characteristic that is applied immediately to our Savior. Elsewhere in the Word of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ. God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has been given us, but such as is common to man. But God, He's faithful. He won't tempt you beyond what you are able, but will, with the temptation, give you a way to escape. God is faithful. He won't allow you to get in a situation where you have to sin. No, He'll give you an out. You can trust Him. You can count on Him to do that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. Faithful is He who calls you, and He will also bring it to pass. God called us to Himself. He has made promises to us. He's made commitments to us. and he will make it to pass. All the promises he has made depend on his faithfulness. 1 John 1:9, familiar verse. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The only reason we know that our sins are forgiven on a day-to-day basis is that God is faithful. He is loyal. He said he'd forgive. So when we come to him, the fact that he is faithful means we know he has forgiven us. We can trust him for that. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Our God has made promises to us. You would have a list as long as your arm if you ever listed those. All the things our God has promised to us. The gift of the Spirit. That he would always be with us. That heaven is our eternal home. That with Jesus Christ we have forgiveness. All these promises, everything that is said in this book, the Word of God, depends on God's faithfulness. You see, if God is not trustworthy, if he's not faithful, if he's not loyal, everything in here might as well be thrown away. The only reason we can count on it is because we can count on him. He's trustworthy. Now here's what happens. Just think for a second, if he were not faithful, the kind of position we would be in, if God were not faithful to us, we would be totally insecure in our relationship to him. We just wouldn't know whether or not our fickle God would walk away from the things he has said. If God were not faithful, we'd never know if he'd honor these promises he's made. If God were not faithful, we wouldn't know if we could depend on the words he has given to us. But because he is faithful, we know where we stand with our God, don't we? We know exactly what our relationship is because he has said, here it is, and I am faithful to what I say. We also know exactly what his promises are. He's made a formal commitment to us. He's had it written down. He went to great lengths to do so, to give us something we can read. This, my friends, is a contract. This is a legal and binding agreement that God has given to us. It is a contract. And because of his faithfulness, we know he'll honor it. But in Galatians 5, when we read the word faithfulness, God has now, the Spirit of God, has taken one word applied throughout the Scriptures to our God, and he now takes it and he says, now this is what I want to see in you when you relate one to another. This is what the Spirit of God wants to produce in each of us. You want to know something? We need a big dose of faithfulness. We need it in our relationships. We need faithfulness in marriage. We need faithfulness when it comes to our relationship with our children. We need faithfulness when it comes to our relationship in the body of Christ. We need faithfulness when it comes to our workplace and who we work with. We live in a very insecure world. Take Tylenol, get cyanide. I can remember, it was back when a young girl was picked up in just far north Dallas, really not that far from our home. And my children saw it on the news, and they got very insecure. That night when we went to bed and said our prayers, they both started praying for the little girl who had been taken, a girl who had never been found to this day. They started praying for her. But I could just see the insecurity welling up in my children, worried about bad men picking them up. Very insecure world to live in. We were at K-Bob's having Sunday afternoon dinner, relaxing, having a good time. And we came out, and I can remember this, little girl, Katie was very small, walked out, and Katie had kind of gotten in front of us, 4 or 5 feet ahead of us, not far, but she was kind of running to the car. And as she started to run to the car, one of these motorcycle guys pulled up in a Harley and parks right there. She flipped. I mean, she went absolute bananas. She like turned different colors. She came, she ran back and jumped in my arms. Insecure. So insecure. She just wanted to know she was safe. There was someone she could count on. Weeks later, she's asking me about the bad man at K-Bob's. Daddy, is the bad man still there? I said, no, honey, 2 weeks, I think he's left, Then, the next time we wanted to go to K-Bob's, we had to go in a different way to try and let her, not let her know where we were. And we got inside, and she's having a good old time, and then it dawns on her, we are in K-Bob's. Daddy, is the bad man here? In a very insecure world in which we live, we need faithfulness. We need situations, relationships where we're totally secure, where we have a sense of just confidence in another person, that we can relax and be ourselves, that we know that person's not going to reject us. We're not on a performance basis, but we know that person is going to do what's best for us for their entire lifetime. I can trust them. They're going to be loyal to me. I can say the things that are bothering me, and I just know they're going to stay with me. It's called faithfulness. G.K. Chesterton said this, "We are all in the same boat in a stormy sea, and we owe each other a terrible loyalty." And that is so true. It is a stormy sea in our day. It's a stormy sea for those of us who have a family. If there was ever a day that we have to hang in the boat together, faithful to one another, loyal to one another, it's today. Faithfulness is essential to any lasting relationship. You must have a degree of security in relationships in order to develop true intimacy. I cannot expect my wife to be open with me, to give her life to me, to give me her love, to give me everything that she is, if she cannot depend on me to be faithful. You can't expect that of her. What do you think of when you say Old Faithful? All right, ladies, what do you think of after you've thought of your husband's mother? What comes next? Old Faithful is probably the most popular geyser in the world, Yellowstone National Park. It's probably the most popular. It's not because of its size. It's not because of how high the jet stream goes. You want to know why Old Faithful is so popular? Here it is. For more than 80 years, it has erupted once every hour for 4 minutes. Kind of sounds like your temper, doesn't it? Once an hour for 4 minutes. 80 years. And the reason it's popular is you know when you go to see Old Faithful, if you're going to hang around for an hour, you're going to catch it. You're going to see it go. I think to myself, that kind of faithfulness, that kind of sense of confidence is what we need to capture in relationships. It is absolutely essential. Old Faithful, you can count on Old Faithful. But can I count on you, honey? Can I count on you to my wife? Can I count on you as my husband? Faithfulness implies a commitment, doesn't it? A commitment you make to another person. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, we have this. The Apostle Paul says to Timothy, look, take the things that I have taught you. These things take and entrust to faithful men who will teach others. What's the implication? Make a commitment. A commitment is the beginning point of faithfulness. You are faithful to a commitment. If there's no commitment, there's no outworking called faithfulness. Faithfulness in your relationship to Jesus Christ, are you faithful to Him? Faithful in your relationship in marriage, to your children, in business? Here's the question that faithfulness poses to all of us. Will you do what you said you will do? That's faithfulness. Are you going to do what you said you will do? I had a fellow made a commitment to me some time ago. He said, I'm going to do this. And I didn't push him on the commitment and let it slide for a while. And then when the commitment really came due in terms of his response, I said, hey, about that commitment. What commitment? Short memory. Let me show you the letter. What letter? Commitment means you say something, you commit to something, and you follow through on that something. You say, I'm going to do something, and I do it. That is faithfulness. Now, for those of you who are married, all right, allow some of the cobwebs of the past to filter through and land back on the day of your wedding. Can you remember back that far? It was the day after Noah built the ark. Remember that? Now, you can do it. The ladies I know can do it. Gentlemen, think back to what it was like. I can do this. I can remember back standing there. My father was best man in our wedding. And I can remember standing in the back, and my father was not a Christian at the time, and I wanted to act like I had the peace of God. I was scared to death. And we were standing there waiting in our tuxes, and the other groomsmen were out there leading people up the aisle. I can remember it so vividly. But what I'd like to do is, for a moment, allow me to be a preacher who's doing a wedding. And I want you to go back in your mind and just substitute the right name as we go. Now, what we would do if you were being married right now is you would repeat after me. I, John, take you, Terry, to be my lawful wedded wife. Remember these words now. Think about them. To be my wedded wife. And I promise and I covenant before God and before these witnesses to be thy faithful and loving husband. In plenty and in want, in joy and in sorrow, in sickness and in health, as long as we both shall live. Then you take the ring. I, John, give you this ring as a token of my love. I pledge to you my loyalty and devotion until death separates us or our Lord returns. Do you sense the Spirit right now? I do. Because some of us have made a statement just like this. It's almost easy to forget it, isn't it? Did I really say those words? Think about them for a second. The first thing you say is, I promise and covenant before God and before the people in attendance. Promise. Covenant. Promise is an agreement. Covenant is an agreement. I am stating that I am saying to my wife, I promise you, I will sign an agreement with you, literally a covenant, before God Almighty and before all these people that I'm going to do the following. I'm going to be a faithful and loving husband. Conviction reigns supreme. You said you'd do it. Are you doing it? But you not only said you'd be a faithful and loving husband, you took another step, and it's a good step. But think about it in terms of faithfulness. You then went on to say, no matter what the circumstances, I'm going to be faithful to you. I'm going to be a loving husband to you, no matter whether we're walking in wealth or poverty. It doesn't matter if we have a beautiful home or no home. It doesn't matter. I'm going to be that kind of a husband to you. Hey, it doesn't matter if times are great and we have a lot of joy and rejoicing or it's a time of sorrow. It doesn't matter. No matter what the circumstances. It doesn't matter if one of us or both of us are sick or whether we're healthy. Circumstances don't matter. I'm just telling you flat out, I will be a loving and faithful husband. And of course, wives, you responded with the same words. It's faithfulness. I really think as we read those vows, we sensed what the Spirit does in producing His fruit called faithfulness. The Spirit of God wants to remind us of promises we have made, promises to our God, promises to each other. And the Spirit of God, I think, in our hearts, right even then, the Spirit was prompting us. He wanted us to remember the words we said. And as I read them, it brought it to the surface. But what the Spirit also does in the day-to-day of life is when times get difficult, when there is sickness, when there is poverty, when there is no joy but primarily despair, the Spirit even then keeps saying to you, endure, hang in, go the course, be faithful. No matter what. Again, if you didn't, you know, think about it for a second. Men, you enter into contracts, ladies in business, don't you read and scrutinize what you're going to say? You sign a lease agreement with a building, you sit there and you read all the fine print. We got a number of lawyers here, you know what I'm talking about. This is a contract, my friend. Now, this contract's not just between two men and a bank or a trust department. This contract's between you and your wife, you and your husband, and God is the one who's going to sign as a witness. And then you got a lot of friends going to sign as witnesses to this contract. Now, if you didn't mean it, you could have written it differently. Maybe you should have said it this way. I, John, take you, Terry, to be my lawfully wedded wife. I promise and covenant before God and these witnesses to be, at least for the time being, your faithful and loving husband. In plenty and abundance, in joy and in happiness, and while both of us are in good health. As long as we both shall love. It's a new wrinkle, isn't it? Instead of live, it's how long we love. It's funny, I dated a girl who, she laid this on me as we were dating, and the prospect of marriage was being discussed, at least from her lips. I got real scared when she said, could we change that last word to as long as we both shall love? Well, here's the question. What does faithfulness look like? You said those words. What does it look like in marriage? Faithfulness in marriage is more than, note this well, is more than sexual fidelity. It's more than that. It's more than honoring just the physical relationship, although you certainly ought to honor that. If you study the Word of God when it comes to the issue of divorce, you will find that probably the only area where there is any room for divorce is the area of infidelity. Jesus said, except for the cause of adultery. There's a lot of debate about what Jesus meant when he said that. But if there is any grounds for divorce, it's because of adultery. I'll tell you why. The physical act is merely a manifestation of the fact that you have severed a relationship. You have already broken the contract. If you've gone that far, you have already broken off all sense of loyalty to your spouse. But again, loyalty goes beyond merely physical fidelity. It is possible to commit adultery with your work. It's possible to commit adultery with your mind. It's possible to commit adultery with just the things you like to do. Remember in James chapter 4 and verse 4, we're told that our God tells us if we're friends with the world, we are adulterers. We are an adulteress. So merely friendship with the world in God's mind is disloyalty. If we said that I will be faithful and loving to my wife or to my husband, and I am more faithful and loving to my work than I am to my spouse, it is a form of adultery. It also is disloyal to the one I made the commitment to. And that's why the struggle that we all have, boy, this is the toughest, the struggle we all have between balancing work with our commitments at home is one, a question of faithfulness. If you're overcommitted here, you've offered too much at work, and then you have made a commitment over here to be a faithful and loving husband, you find you're in a conflict. It's difficult to honor both commitments. That is why you must before God, give your primary faithfulness to that woman, to your mate, to your partner. And then the other commitments must fall into line behind those. Faithfulness in marriage means you create a secure environment where your love can flourish. Are you secure in your marriage right now? Do you feel secure? I dare say that a lot of women especially don't feel that secure in their marriage. And rightly so. I hate to say it. Rightly so. Gentlemen, I think if we were to take a moment and just reflect on what women have to put up with, my wife, your wife, when it comes to some of my other commitments that pull me away time-wise from my family, and then she sits there knowing that, you know, John can go off the deep end in about 3 seconds because she has seen it, but she also knows that economically I'm the breadwinner. What a position for a woman to be in. And then if we don't treat them right, we don't respond properly to the relationship, a great degree of insecurity takes place. All based on the fact that they question whether ultimately we will be faithful. Every time a woman hears of another woman whose husband has run on her and taken off, that woman has to start to say, hey, am I next? So many situations where you'd never think it could happen with that couple, and then it happens. How do we create this secure environment for a marriage to flourish? Let me give you a couple of ideas, all right? Very important when it comes to the outworking of faithfulness. Number one, regularly restate your commitment to your husband or to your wife. Restate your commitment. We have in our home a wedding certificate that I meant to bring to show to you. I forgot to do that. We have a wedding certificate that hangs in our hallway. If you walk to our bedroom, you have to see the wedding certificate there. Now, it's not ours. In fact, it's a fascinating certificate that on the bottom, you read it, it's Terry's great-grandfather and her great-grandmother, and it was in Brooklyn, New York, and the pastor was head of the Norwegian Evangelical Free Church, and the date, 1899, December 2nd. But as you look at this wedding certificate, it's not like we have. Ours are just kind of a cold contract that a preacher signs and two witnesses, and that's it. No, this one is to be displayed. At the bottom, you see a single woman and a single man, and it has a scripture verse. His banner over us, or over me, is love. And then it has the two of them coming together. And it says, for this cause a man shall leave his mother and father and shall cleave to his wife. And then just above that is a church. And then on one side of the church is a home. And then on the other side, you have a young couple, like running to the church to get married. And then coming out the other side, and again, these are just like a decoupage of drawings, beautifully done. Then over here you have children. In the very middle is a Bible, and it's turned to the Gospel of John. I am the vine, you are the branches. Talks about faithfulness, being tied in, abiding in Christ. Just above that, you have an elderly couple, an old couple. And they're looking at a scroll that talks about your stewardship is now complete. And just above that is a dove representing the Spirit of God. You know what it's saying? It's saying the commitment we're making on December 2nd, 1899, to live and love together, takes us, focuses us on the Word of God. But ultimately the progression is if God blesses our children, but then at the end it's an older man, old woman, together getting ready to walk into eternity with a statement of their stewardship. It captures the commitment. A commitment made before God, a commitment to live a life that pleases God, to look at your relationship as a stewardship before God. You are partners in the things of God. If you want to create security in that marriage you have right now that maybe is trembling, you must restate your commitment regularly. You know, maybe you ought to take a second, and when we go back through the vows, maybe you ought to hold your wife's hands and be willing to say in your own mind those same words again. Each anniversary, Terry and I have a little joke that somehow developed, but it's not really a joke anymore. I'll stop and I'll say, well, honey, this many years down, and what do you think? Renew my contract? She says, yeah. How many years? Till the end. And that end is until one of us dies or our Lord returns. But it's a statement again that what I said back on our wedding day is something I will say again and again and again, because when I said it, I meant it and I'll do it. And although at times, yes, I will not be a real faithful kind of husband, I will not be a loving husband, I am committed to becoming that. And I'll make that commitment. And I will honor what I said. Don't take your wedding vows lightly, please, whatever you do. I know when you said those, you were so enthralled with love and the beauty of the moment and all the things, the trappings of being married. But go back, you made a statement, commit to do it. The Spirit of God wants you to. The Spirit of God wants to help you to do that. But secondly, in addition to restating that commitment as a demonstration of faithfulness, never undercut your partner to another person. That is the most disloyal thing you can do. Never undercut your partner, your friend. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, we have a verse that's for the wives of deacons. And it says, women must be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. Ladies, let me throw this toward your direction for a second. I know you carry maybe some deep pains in your relationship. And maybe you feel very, very insecure. If you want to make it worse, I'll tell you what you do. You talk to the wrong person about it. Now, let me tell you right away who one of the wrong people is in this case. One of the wrong individuals to talk to is your mother. Somebody laughed. They know exactly what I'm talking about. Here's what happens. Here's the dynamic, and it's disloyalty. I know you're hurting. You want to talk to somebody. I'm encouraging you to talk first to God. And maybe you need to talk to a counselor. But as soon as you take the emotional pain of your moment and you talk to your mom about what your husband did, I can guarantee you that your husband will take 15 years to recover that with your mom. I don't care if the two of you make it hunky-dory, peachy cream, and everything's wonderful, your mom's going to carry that axe for a lot of years. I have seen it. I've seen it in engaged couples. When one couple doesn't like the man that their daughter is engaged to, and they make that crystal clear, then they get married. You've got years. See, there's a tendency, ladies, because you feel so deeply about things, to do something. You tend to keep a record of wrongs done. So although your daughter has forgiven her husband, the relationship's being restored, God is working in great ways, mom is still as upset as she was 5 years ago when it happened. She'll never forget. Whatever you do, and I tell engaged couples this, whatever you do, never talk to your parents about your spouse. Never, 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 never do that. It is disloyal. Oh, and ultimately the pain it's going to bring to the relationship is staggering. Let me read a letter to you. This captures, I think, what happens when a wife allows some bitterness to fester. Listen to this. Dear Ann Landers, this is not from my wife, by the way. Here it goes. Dear Ann Landers, now how do you think this woman feels? We married 45 years ago and spent a three-day honeymoon in a wretched hovel without a bathroom. The ugly memories will be with me forever. It's a good start to a relationship. He grew up on the edge of a cornfield, graduated from the 10th grade rural school, and was a clod. But I thought, I'll teach him and he'll grow up. Big mistake. On the plus side, he is honest, dependable, neat-looking, compassionate, affectionate, and has a good sense of humor. This goes on. This is real. I mean, this is out of the newspaper. On the plus side, okay, I gave you that. At night, he comes to the table bombed, slurps his soup, smacks his lips, chews with his mouth open, and belches. I can't stand the sight of him, and my hostility grows. I hate myself even more since I made such a poor selection for my life's mate. Our splendid children, he's the father though, I don't understand. Our splendid children are established in their own homes, while their father and I grow old and miserable with our medical problems. I don't know why I'm writing. Maybe I just need to tell somebody. Mrs. X from nowhere. I want you to know that that couple has marriage problems. And they're pretty serious. Listen to her response. And again, I think we're talking faithfulness. Because, you know, here's a woman dumping the truck. If she's talking to Ann Landers like this, can you imagine what she says to her mother, to the neighbors? Dear Mrs. X, as I read your letter, I wondered how many women would just love to have a man who is honest, dependable, neat-looking, compassionate, affectionate, and has a good sense of humor. I wondered, too, what your man would say about you if he wrote to Ann Landers. Try to write that letter in your own head. Perhaps it will reduce your bitterness toward him and ultimately toward yourself. My friends, when faithfulness breaks down in a relationship, it is very insecure. And the outworking of it can be absolutely disastrous. We have just a few minutes left. Let me take it in another area. As important as faithfulness is to a marriage, it is equally critical that we express our loyalty, our devotion, our commitment to our children. They need to know they can depend on us, don't they? First and foremost, there is an unspoken commitment the moment you are engaged physically in a relationship, whether you're married or not. I believe biblically that the moment you are involved physically, you are committing to the product of that union. You are. When a child arrives, we don't have wedding vows, do we? We don't say anything to that child, but I'll tell you what. I think when they start to grow up, we need to say something. We need to express to them a commitment. Let me share one with you. Maybe this is what you need to say to your children today when it comes to faithfulness, wanting them to be secure in the relationship you sustain to them. Our dear children, you are a very special gift that our God has given to us. Your life is an expression of the love we have for each other. As long as we live, we will stay together as your mom and dad. We will do all that we can to help you to know that God loves you and He sent Jesus, His Son, to die for you. We will pray for you every day of our life. We will do our best to teach you the way that our God would have you go. We'll love you no matter what. We will always try to be there when you need us. We will rejoice in the children our God may one day give to you. We will look forward to being with you, not only for time, but for all eternity. Love, Mom and Dad. What does faithfulness look like with our children? Number one, Mom and Dad, do your best not to fight in front of your kids. Do you realize how insecure that makes them? I know you can call it anything you want. Terry and I have had conversations that the decibel level has risen just slightly above conversation. And I watch the children as I'm standing there and I'm talking to Terry and we're going back and forth and we're just not agreeing on something. Now, you know, we're not talking free-for-all here. We're just talking about back and forth, confusion, typical marriage problem, right? Relationship. And I see over there two little kids and they're big eyes. You know what's great is the loyalty they usually have for their mom, don't they? Hey, Dad, be nice to Mom, will you? I'm being nice to mine. It's not what some are having an adult conversation. When you get older, you'll understand. This is an adult conversation. It's PG now. It'll be R soon. Don't, whatever you do, do your best not to have fights in front of your children, please. Makes them very insecure. And we should have enough self-control that although we have some things to work through, and it might be a little difficult to work them through, that's a relationship, that's normality, that's not unusual, let's refrain from doing it in front of especially younger children. They just don't understand. But guess what? Even older ones don't either. I told you about a survey done in a local school where they asked young junior high kids, what is your number one concern? Waiting to hear stuff about abortion, birth control, drugs. The number one concern was whether Mom and Dad were going to stay together. That was it. Secondly, though, faithfulness means you follow through on your word with your children. You promise to take them camping? Make sure you take them camping. But guess what? If you promise that if they do it once more, if they do that certain thing one more time, they're going to get spanked. You know what faithfulness is? Spank them. Make your word bind, binding with them. Make sure that when you say something, you do it. And then finally, faithfulness means that you always, whenever you can, try and commit your loyalty to your children and to your family. One of the most exciting things I find in our family that really brings tears to my eyes on so many occasions is when I sense loyalty between the four of us. I love it. I love when my children, who fight together constantly, but if somebody picks on my little girl, watch my son. Over the years, I have enjoyed so much when we go to McDonald's and they're playing on the swings and somebody comes up and pushes Katie. I just love to see my son go over and nail him. I love it. It's a statement of loyalty. Moms and dads, husbands and wives, the glue that binds a relationship, that gives it a security, is a relationship that is built on faithfulness. Express it, follow through on it. Let's pray. Father, if you weren't faithful, we would be without hope. Everything that we study, everything that we understand is based on the fact that we can trust you. That you are loyal to us, that you'll do what you said you will do, that you have done what you said you have done. Father, I think we need that desperately in our day. We live in an age of insecurity, but also an age of unfaithfulness. Father, help each of us to make a commitment to do what we said we would do, whether it be in our marriage or to our children. Lord, give us the ability to do so. And may the Spirit rifle us if we are not willing. May the Spirit empower us to do so. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.